Forgiveness is a word that we toss around out there as though it's something simple to achieve. Someone's hurt you, yeah, you just forgive them. Right, okay, done and dusted. Let's move on. Hang on. Let's just hang on a cotton pick a minute. If you've ever tried to forgive someone who's hurt you, you'll know that it's just not easy to do. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be with you again. Today we're going to be taking a look at forgiveness from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called Laying Hold of Your Abundant Life, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you do just that. Live the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give you. To be honest, forgiveness never used to be a thing for me. Why forgive? My motto in life used to be, don't get angry, get even. If you did something to hurt me or betrayed me or you undermined me or you ignored me, I would find a way of getting even. Vengeance is sweet, they say, although from experience I can tell you it does leave a bitter aftertaste in your mouth. It wasn't until age 36 that forgiveness became a thing for me. This is how it happened. Jesus met me in a dark time in my life. My Saviour came for me and reached down into the dark pit where I was and lifted me out. Those aren't just words. That's what happened. And today I look back and I still find myself asking, why me? I'm speechless at the idea that Jesus came for me. There were so many people who were nicer than me. I was a shocker, I have to tell you. I was tough, hard-nosed, brutal in my pursuit of success. And then one day, I read this story that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he couldn't pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came across one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I'll pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The end of that story is just a bit brutal, isn't it? I mean, really, is forgiveness that big a deal? Well, apparently it is to God. I was perplexed by this story, this parable that Jesus used to teach Peter and the other disciples about forgiveness. So it got me thinking. God makes us, humanity, kicking it off with Adam and Eve. He gives us a free will, full knowing that we were going to rebel, full knowing that we would fall short of his perfect standard, full knowing that one day the demands of justice, God's justice, after all, we'd expect God to be just, right, would have to be met. I mean, if I break the law and end up in front of a judge, as I did once as a young man by crashing my car, you'd expect the judge to be just. He gave me a sentence, rather a light sentence as it turned out at the time, a fine or, if I didn't pay the fine, a couple of nights at Her Majesty's pleasure in a prison. That's what you'd expect. But imagine, I mean, just imagine if that judge had been my father, my dad who brought me into this world and loves me beyond measure. Now, in that instance, the judge would have had a fundamental conflict of interests. On the one hand, he's the judge, and by the very nature of his role, his job is to mete out justice. On the other hand, He's my dad, and he loves me, and he doesn't want to have to do that. Well, that's precisely the dilemma that God finds himself in. Only for him, it's much, much worse, because as we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of our sin is death. You and I, through our sin, our rebellion against God, are under a sentence of death. Make no mistake about it. An eternal existence of judgment and suffering. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There it is, a resurrection of eternal condemnation. That's what's at stake here. So God sends Jesus, his one and only Son, the one through whom the whole of creation was created. He sends that Jesus to suffer and die for you and me. Do you get it? This is why forgiveness is such a big deal for God. This is why Jesus told this powerful parable about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran out and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split. Do you get it? That's what Jesus did for me and for you, so that we could be completely set free from that eternal condemnation. For God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when we believe in him, we won't perish under that burden of eternal condemnation, but instead we will have eternal life. So he looks at you and me and he says, "Well, if that's what I did to forgive you, how is it possible that you wouldn't forgive those who've sinned against you?" Well, how is it possible? That's the question that God is asking us today. How is that possible? So let me ask you, whom haven't you forgiven in your life? For whom do you still harbour the darkness of unforgiveness in your heart? This series of messages is called Overboard with Jesus. It's about taking our lives out of the mediocre comfort zone where we've perhaps been living and going all out, living our lives full on for Jesus. There are so many people who want to do that, but they just don't know how. Well, get a revelation today. You simply cannot live your life full on for Jesus if you're carrying unforgiveness around in your heart. You just can't. Well, if you're captive to unforgiveness today, if you're struggling to let go of that darkness, that destructive force of unforgiveness in your heart today, here it is. Jesus came to set you free. Let it go. Put it into his hands. Pray for your enemy. Get out there. Go overboard with Jesus. Trust him and he will show up. He will grab your hand when you start sinking, because that's just what Jesus does. Life has its ups and downs, right? But Jesus made an extraordinary promise. He said that he came that we might have life in all its abundance, literally a superabundant life. Yet not everyone who believes in him is living that life. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Laying Hold of Your Abundant Life. And with the life application questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over to really apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. Because come on, God's Word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you discover and live the abundant life that he has for you through this booklet. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.